I am very excited to be here this morning. I have been running like crazy this week, but God is faithful. Let me find my scripture here. All right, cool. Well, are y'all excited for camp meeting? Man, I'm telling you what, I am pumped. I am pumped. It has been a minute since I have been at a camp meeting at Amazing Grace Church, and it is going to be awesome. And I just want to encourage y'all, if any of you are volunteering in the back, I know that a lot of times some of the stuff that we hear from people about that is, well, I don't want to do it because I don't want to miss out on what's happening out here. But can I tell you that when you serve and when you give your time to help raise the next generation, the Holy Spirit is able to get to you exactly what you need. And what you're doing back there is not just babysitting, but it's raising the next generation of world changers. Can't get excited about that. I don't know what the problem is. All right. Well, it is always an honor and a privilege to be able to get up here and share my heart and share what the Lord has placed on my heart for this church. It is amazing. I say this every time, but I don't even care. It's worth saying. It is amazing to be able to be raised in a church and then still be honored and given a place to speak and share your gift. That is rare. It's a rare thing. The Bible says that a prophet is not without honor except for in his own home, right? Jesus could do there no mighty work except for heal a few sick people because they didn't honor him. But we don't have that problem here. And I love that. It's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. So I just want to thank the leadership here for always being open and willing to let us speak. And obviously, I know Pastor and Sharon aren't here this morning, but I just want to honor them. We love them here. Amen. We have great pastors. We have great pastors. Well, let's pray, and then we'll jump into this. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you have honored me by giving me the ability to handle your word. Father God, that you don't hide your will from us, but instead you had your servants write it down so that we could have your will, have access to your will. Father, we don't have to walk blindly into the things of life because we have a roadmap, and we thank you for that. Father, I thank you for this word this morning. I pray that you would speak, that it'd be your words and not mine. Father, that your spirit would divide this word this morning. Show us what we need to see. Teach us what we need to know, Lord God, and empower us to walk out what your truth demands of us. We love you, Lord. We honor you in this place. Amen. Well, this morning I want us to look at a portion of scripture in the book of Ezekiel. We're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 37, and I have been over, I don't know, the last 2 or 3 months really just overwhelmed by what God is doing in the earth. He is so good, and he desires for revival everywhere. One of the things that I was talking to the Lord about, I watched, I don't know how many of you went and saw that movie, Jesus Revolution, but I went and saw it, and I walked out, and I was like, Lord, I want that to happen. I want that to happen again. Like, I want to see just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people coming to know you and experiencing your presence. God, I want that. I want that. And I'm like just saying it over and over again, like he doesn't want that. And he said, do you think you want revival more than I do? And I said, well, no. He said, son, it's my will that none should perish, but all would come to the knowledge of me. That's his will. God's will is that. So it's not God's not the issue here. The reason we have not experienced revival in the same way that they did in that time is not because of God. So, Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm doing all right. Okay, praise God. Ezekiel chapter 37. Here we see God take Ezekiel into a vision and show him God's future or God's will for the people of Israel. I don't know about you, but I love reading the Old Testament prophets. I was raised in church. I was raised in this church. And so I have read through the Old Testament quite a few times. I've read, you know, spent a lot of time going through the stories. You know, a lot of times, I'm going to be careful how I say this. It seems as though a lot of times we spend more time in the Old Testament in children's church because they're stories and they're easy to engage kids with. But the Old Testament is vital to our relationship with God. And if we would read the Old Testament in light of the New Testament, God can show us some really awesome things. And so I love reading the Old Testament prophets. And a pattern that I have found is that through the Old Testament is that whenever man is at its worst, God raises up voices to encourage them for a better future. Over the last 2,000 years, the church has survived war, persecution, plague, tribulation, interference, and all kinds of other things, and all it has done is grown. All it has done is grown. Regardless of what you see or what people are saying, that there's a decline in church, that there's a decline in people wanting to see God, that's a lie. The church is growing. In fact, one of the fastest growing churches in the earth today is in a country that has the highest level of persecution. But it can't stop the church. Why? Because the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Which means this: we are not a church that is on defense, but we are on offense. It is our job not to sit idly by and watch the world go wherever it is on its way to. It is our job to go out and take ground, to reclaim things that the enemy thought he had taken. People say a lot of things about the younger generation. They are not interested in God. They don't want God. They don't need God. That is not true. I actually am connected with a young man who literally yesterday left on a bus to go travel the United States with a group of college students that could have used their summer to take time off, could have used their summer to work a job and pay off college debt, hello. But instead, they chose to take their entire summer to travel around the United States and hold revival services in the cities of our country. God is moving. God is doing things in the earth. I got to keep moving. Listen, as long as there is a family that doesn't have a church to call home, the church has a reason to grow. As long as there is a person who is yet to meet our Jesus, there is a reason for the kingdom of God to advance. We are a part of an ever-advancing kingdom that cannot give up and will not stop short of all that God has called us to do, because Christ isn't just some stone. He isn't just some man. He isn't just some character in a book that we read. He isn't just some guy with good ideas. No, he is the chief cornerstone of our faith, and upon him, the entire kingdom is constructed. I'm just gonna let me encourage you for a minute, because we gotta. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't care what you're facing. I don't know what you're facing. But what I do know is that the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard against him. Our God has never lost a battle. He is always faithful. He's never failed me before, and he's not going to start now. I don't care what it looks like on the news. I don't care what you've read on the internet. I don't care what you've seen on Facebook. We are living in the best days to be alive. The best days. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And like I said, what I've seen in the Old Testament is whenever man is at its worst, God raises up voices. God raises up voices. I believe that we are standing on the edge of the next great awakening. 100%. I need to get to the scripture. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel finds himself speaking to a people that have been taken captive by a king named Nebuchadnezzar. Or as Stephen used to call him, Nebuchadnezzar. The Hebrew children find themselves in a generation of bondage. And in the midst of that crisis, God raises up a voice in the man named Ezekiel. Verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley. And it was full of bones. You see, in the Old Testament, the hand of God would rest upon specific people at specific times to do specific tasks. But in the New Testament, the Spirit of God does not just rest on us, but he has taken up residence within us. Ezekiel operated under anointing that was for a specific time to do certain things and say certain words. But like Pastor said a few weeks ago, in the New Testament, all can prophesy. All can speak the word. All can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. From the cross forward, it is always time for healing. It is always time for deliverance. It is always time for declaration. It is always time to see the kingdom of God manifest around us on earth, even as it is in heaven. Yep. Listen, we do not have to ask God if he's interested in healing. We don't have to ask God if he's interested in miracles. No, we live under an open heaven invitation to participate in the business of our King. And what is the business of our King? We find that in Matthew 10, starting in verse 7. Just write it down. Don't go there because I got to keep moving. But Matthew 10, starting in verse 7, it says, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, now freely give. I don't need you to take a spiritual gift test to figure out if you can be a bold voice in this time. You can. I don't need you to take a personality test to figure out if you're the right type of person to be able to evangelize your neighbor. You can. Those things are fine in and of themselves. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with taking those tests, but what I'm saying is when we take those tests and then use them as an excuse to hold us back from the things that God's called the church to be, we've missed it. We've missed it. You don't have to be a special person with a special degree or a special title in order for you to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. It is your birthright as a child of the King. And because you belong to Jesus, everything that he has is yours. You have been anointed by God. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence within you. And we have a voice and a part to play. Because Jesus, you belong to Jesus, and everything that he has belongs to you, means that we are not waiting on revival. We are walking, breathing ambassadors of another kingdom. Our citizenship is not one of the earth, but that of heaven. Come on, we are seated in heavenly places. I am a co-laborer and a co-heir in Christ Jesus. When I am in him, I am more than a conqueror. Far too often, I think we reduce spiritual gifts to whoever is on stage or whoever has the right title. Yeah. Right? Well, I can't do that because I'm not the worship pastor. I'm not Chuck. Like Chuck, just man, Chuck. And listen, Chuck is amazing, and we are blessed to have that gift in this house. We are. But all he's doing is functioning under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's not that deep. I'm saying like all of us. It's not that hard. It's not hard to yield. At least it doesn't need to be hard to yield, I guess. Oh, man. Lord, help us. Oh, man. Okay. I gotta find my spot here. All right. Far too often, we reduce spiritual gifts to whoever is on stage or who has the right title. Listen, if you will not serve God without a title, you're not going to serve him with one. I'm not against education. I'm not. But it's not about what man confers upon you. You have been stamped by God with his identity. And if that's not enough, nothing else ever will be.
Amen.
Nothing we can achieve academically will ever amount to an identity that we have found in Christ Jesus. I want you to know that today you have permission from God to not just be victims of today's culture, but to instead be someone who is, to be one that boldly declares the word of God and sees this world fundamentally changed around you. This is who we are because it's who God made us to be. We can no longer treat church as a place we come to watch the anointed man or woman of God for an hour on Sunday morning. Church is a place where we come to be trained in our gifts, stirred up in our call, and to celebrate that God has taken up residence in our hearts by faith. And because of that, everywhere that we walk becomes an opportunity to see the kingdom of God be made manifest around us. I'm excited about what God is doing. Can you tell? All right, we gotta keep moving here. Ooh, okay. Second thing that the Lord showed me in just the first verse, and we're going to go through 10, so I got to pick up the pace. But just in the first verse, in the Old Testament, it was just certain people at certain times, but in the New Testament, we all have the power of the Holy Spirit. The second thing is this. It says that God brought him out and then set him in a valley. Oftentimes, we want new vision but are unwilling to allow God to take us out of something and place us in to something new. Sometimes, to get fresh vision, we need a new perspective. The message always remains the same, but the methods change. The way that we reach each generation looks a little bit different because each generation is a little bit different. But we never compromise the truth of the Word of God. We never twist Scripture to meet our ideologies, our opinions, or our political persuasions. We hold fast to the truth of the Word of God. My whole family is littered with people who have impacted this world for the kingdom of God. But none of them have ever helped start a motorcycle ministry. Until me. See, the method is different, but the truth of the gospel remains the same. Here's the problem. We want fresh vision and we want open doors as long as it doesn't require us to change. But new wine needs new wineskins.
Yeah.
New seasons require new strategies. You see, this next move of God, the thing that we are, I believe, already in, but a lot of people think we're on the edge of, but I think we're already in it. We just need to participate in it. It's going to look different because it's reaching a different people than before. But it's going to be the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit. Let's keep reading. Verse 2. Then he caused me to pass by all them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. 3. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, Oh, Lord God, you know. What a church answer. And he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You see, the bones in the valley represented the condition of God's people. It represented a people lost and hurting. And it says that they were dry, which tells us that they had been in that state for a long time. When I read this, I see many in the church today. People that feel let down or disappointed, that have been standing and believing for so long and have yet to see the promise fulfilled. But I need you to see something this morning. What looked like death to Ezekiel looked like an opportunity for a great army to God. Ezekiel was taken into the dry bones. And that's what he saw, a valley full of dead, dry bones. But then the word from heaven came, and the word from heaven was, can these bones live? Listen, I know that there are many of us that find ourselves seemingly in a valley full of dry bones. We look around and we see the disappointments of life. I personally, and I can say this because this service isn't online, I personally look around and I see family members that I know are not serving God. That served God in the past, and when I saw them in that time, they were sincerely pursuing the presence of my God. But something shifted, and now it's like they don't want anything to do with him. And I look at that and I see dry bones. But I believe that God is asking us the same question today. Can these bones live? You see, the miracle started with a question that was asked to Ezekiel. Can these bones live? I'm telling you today that when God asks you a question, listen up. He wants to do something in the earth, and he is getting ready to invite you to be a part of it. Can we see a move of God in this church like we never have before? Can we see the churches in our surrounding area full again? Can one lady passing out sandwiches change a city? Can a few guys riding motorcycles impact an entire culture for the kingdom of God? Can a family move from Puerto Rico and start a Spanish-speaking church in Wheeler, Michigan? Can the kingdom of God so invade the state of Michigan that the state of Michigan experiences revival again? Can these bones live? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. Another thing that I saw is that it was not enough. And this is going to challenge some of you, but I just need you to hear me out. It was not enough for God to know that those bones could live. Psalms 115 and verse 16 says this: "The heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of man." You have dominion, which means you have a responsibility. Of course God knew the bones could live. He did not ask Ezekiel if the bones could live because he wasn't sure. Like, well, I know I created the earth, and I know I filled it with stuff, and I know I created everything. But I just wanted to know do you think, Ezekiel, you're so wise, so I just wanted to ask your opinion. Do you think these bones could live? No, see, God didn't ask if the bones could live for his benefit. He asked if the bones could live for Ezekiel's benefit. What God needed was a man willing to agree and speak forth the will of God. And he chose Ezekiel. I know that God is asking us the same question this morning, like I said. Can these bones live? Can the bones that you see around you in your life, the family members, the promises, the things you've been believing for, can they live? I don't know about you, but it's my desire to always respond to God like the disciples did in Luke 5. They've been out on the boat all night. They've been casting their nets. They've been doing all the things that fishermen need to do to catch fish. And they've caught nothing. But then upon the command of Jesus, one man speaks back the heart cry that is on the inside of me. God, we've toiled all night. We've done everything we know to do. But at your word, I will cast forth my net. See, what shifted for them was all night long, they were doing it in their own strength. How can I make this happen? What can I do to do this? What can I do to make all of this stuff come together? I need to catch a fish. I'm a fisherman. It's my job. If I don't catch a fish, what am I? Apparently nothing, because I didn't catch the fish, and I'm a fisherman. It's what I'm known for. But now they have a word from God. And upon acting, at the moment they acted upon, there we go, the word of God, they had more than enough. They had more than enough. Can we be a people that is known for, well, I've been in Michigan a long time. I've seen moves of God pop up and disappear. But God, at your word, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Verse 5, thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, and surely you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover your skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Now watch this. So I Ezekiel, prophesied. And as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together bone to bone. Look, nothing happened before Ezekiel spoke. God knew the bones could live, but nothing changed until Ezekiel prophesied. As I prophesied, there was a noise. The problem is for many of us, and I count myself among this, when we're in the moment, We tend to speak things that are as though that's all there ever will be. And if Ezekiel would have been placed in the valley and continued to comment about the fact that these bones are really dry, God, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, and I don't know about you, but sometimes, especially when it comes into healing, we're like, okay, God, but like maybe if the bones were like still a little moist, then they could live. Or like maybe if there was like, you know, like maybe like 30 bones and then the rest still had flesh, like, yeah, I could believe God for that. We pick and choose what the power of God is big enough for. Anyways, if Ezekiel would have just continued to react to what he saw instead of respond to what God said, there would have been no noise. This is why God calls us today to speak things that are not as though they were. Verse 8. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews, I think I'm saying that word right, and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath. So then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. And say to the breath, thus says the Lord of God, come forth from the four winds and breathe on these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied, as he commanded me, and the breath came onto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. We need the life breath of God. You can have the best speakers, the coolest programs, the best music, but when the breath of God begins to blow, there is nothing man can manufacture. There is nothing we can drum up. There's not enough smoke machines in the world and fancy lights to compare to that breath. And praise God, we experience that here. I'm so thankful to be in a church that allows the breath of God to blow. Thank you, Lord. I want to say one last thing and then I will close, I promise. Ezekiel is prophesying to a bunch of captives. And as I was reading, I couldn't help but find myself imagining what they might have felt. Like their past and now their futures are being erased. Like all their hopes and dreams are now consumed by this other kingdom. And man, I'm telling you, like, I've spoken to people and I've brought words before, and I can only imagine that there were some that just rejected what Ezekiel said. But then there were some that received it. And it was years before Ezekiel's prophecy was fulfilled. Years. There was a whole generation of people that stewarded what God had placed before them, but didn't see it come to pass. And as I was reading and studying this, I just couldn't help but think of all the people in this church that sat in these, not these chairs, but sat in some chairs in this room and prayed for a move of God in the lives of their kids, in the lives of their grandkids, and for this house, and didn't see it come fully. They saw glimpses, but they didn't see it come fully. But they remained faithful to what it was that God had called them to be faithful to. Because after Ezekiel, God raised up a man named Ezra and a man named Nehemiah. And they got favor with the king to rebuild the temple so that God's people could rejoice. And listen, this work doesn't just end with us. We are not going to experience revival and then it's over when we die. That's not how this works. God moves through each generation. And can I tell you that sorry, I'm going to try not to cry. There is a generation that needs us to be faithful to what God has placed before us so that when it's their turn, they can go further and faster than we ever dreamed. I know what it looks like in our nation right now. I know there are lots of reports from lots of people. But I can't help but be excited because when I pray and when I worship, I'm telling you, I hear the sound of bones rattling. There is a move of God. And I'm not giving up. I'm not letting up. God is raising an army in our region, but we will only see it come to pass if we agree with the word from heaven and use our prophetic voice to speak and to declare. Power of life and death is in your tongue. What you do with it is up to you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that, Father, we're co-laborers with you. It's our job to speak, but it's your job to bring the breath. And as we speak, we see that breath begin to flow. And Father God, as we prophesy to our families and our situations and our cities and our states and our country, Lord God, we know that those words do not return void because we're speaking what you've spoken. I call out to the dry bones in this region and I say, come alive in the name of Jesus. I call out to the winds and say, blow the breath of God on this state, on this city, and on this town, Lord God, that we may see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Father, as this church prepares to walk into camp meeting, and Father, I pray that you would draw people. Father, that people would see the opportunity to drop their kids off at some kid thing, and their kids would be radically impacted by the presence of God. And that from that testimony, that family would be saved. We call in the harvest. And we call out to the harvesters to go and reap. I thank you, Lord. I honor you. Amen. Okay.